Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's bet.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
All right, welcome into the latest Behind the Bets podcast. Happy Valentine's Day to all of our loyal listeners. I am solo on this Valentine's Day. Yes, a heartbroken man here, Doug Kazarian, Ben Fox. Away on vacation, on a beach somewhere, I'm told. Isn't that right, Mike?
He is just laying and probably taking some bets, but he's doing his thing.
All right, producer Mike on the controls as always. So we're taping this on Wednesday, February 14th. Sort of the dust settling after everything. The focus has now shifted to basketball. But a big trade deadline since the last podcast where Cavs were just completely unraveling before our very eyes for about 2 weeks, and then the trade deadline. So we're going to have John Murray and Jason Symbol of CG Technology join us to talk about what the Vegas reaction has been out there. And also Jason's going to weigh in on baseball season, as CG Technology was the first sports book in Nevada to post season win totals. And there's already been some early action, some early movements. So never too early to talk season win totals. Always fun, especially, you know, for those who like to bet baseball in the futures, because it makes things interesting every single day when you have action on season win total. So we'll talk to Jason in a little bit, but we'll first get some reaction from John Murray straight ahead. One thing I want to remind everyone that David Purdom, who does an outstanding job for us at ESPN Chalk, he's been on the podcast before, does a lot of sort of news stories, but then does some great features as well. And he just posted one on ESPN Chalk. I encourage everyone to go check it out. It's the question mark, and it's been an overlooked sort of question, is will Vegas ever be the same? And obviously Vegas has had this sort of monopoly on sports betting because it got grandfathered in to a federal act where Nevada is allowed to book bets and no other state can. Well, obviously, as we've covered here on the podcast, the U.S. Supreme Court is hearing something for New Jersey to also be able to book bets. And that means if it becomes legal there in other states and maybe even on a federal level, what will that do to Las Vegas? Las Vegas has a mystique of some sorts, right? We all know that. And there's the party scene. Obviously, there's the casino scene. The weather at certain times of the year is certainly attractive. But there is a inherent advantage that Nevada, and particularly Las Vegas, has with the gambling component. And if other states are allowed, what will that do to Las Vegas? That's the question mark, right? So there was a very interesting feature that David did and interviewed a lot of old school Vegas bookmakers, talked to the little Rat Pack. In fact, that's the picture on the ESPN Chalk page. So really a fun read. I encourage everyone to go check that out. Let's now head out to Las Vegas and bring in a regular here on the Behind the Bets podcast, John Murray, Westgate Las Vegas Superbook Manager and Odds Maker. John, how are you?
Doug, I'm doing well, man. It's good to be back on the show.
Yeah. Flying solo today. Can you handle just one of us?
Yeah, you know, Ben texted me last week, Thursday or Friday, said he was going to be on a beach somewhere next week. It would be just me and you, but it was very vague. I don't know if he was trying to hide from me which beach he was going to, or if he just didn't know and it was like a last second thing.
Oh.
So
well, Better X tends to. Oh, excuse me, I wasn't supposed to reveal his identity.
Well, they must be paying you ESPN guys pretty well if you can just decide at the last second what beach you want to go to.
Yeah, must be nice. Must be nice for Ben to be able to take that kind of luxurious vacation.
I'm happy for Ben.
I hope he comes back. I mean, maybe he just bought an island and is staying there. So,
Never know, man. If he really is Better X, Doug, I'm sure he could afford several islands.
Right, and maybe Ben / Better X is pressing on the Cavs since the trade deadline. So let's talk about this because it's been very interesting. I did a SportsCenter hit on Saturday, and I spoke to you, and Ed Sammons and Jeff Sherman made the rounds elsewhere. And there seems to be a lot of differences in terms of who's the favorite in the East now, but it seems like everyone agrees that the trend that Cavs are better. So let's talk about it. You guys, last Wednesday, before the trade deadline, had Toronto as the overall favorite in the Eastern Conference at plus 180, Cleveland and Boston right behind at plus $2. So the Raptors, given that they were the one seed currently, are the favorites. Now, Cavs make the trade deadline deals. you adjust, and then you've adjusted since. So just take me through all that.
Well, so it's been such a whirlwind week for the Cavaliers. Like, if we talked last Wednesday morning, that was before they had that incredible win against Minnesota when LeBron was just unbelievable in that game. Then they make all the trades on Thursday. Then they beat Atlanta. They've got the huge win in Boston on Sunday. And then another very impressive win last night on the road against Oklahoma City. And just in a span of about a week, Cleveland's entire season seems to have swung in the other direction. Right now we've got Cleveland minus 125 to win the Eastern Conference. And it's a combination of they're looking very impressive. We have been riding a lot of money on them. And we know that everyone is going to look to bet on Cleveland right now, Doug, to win the East. We still think Toronto is probably the better team, but the perception is going to be that Cleveland is the decisive favorite in the Eastern Conference. And again, it's crazy saying that because 7-8 days ago, they were just left for dead by everybody.
Right, but if people who follow that know that LeBron can be moody, LeBron can be kind of act out, and it seems like he was acting out. I mean, after that game winner against the T-Wolves, he didn't even acknowledge Isaiah Thomas in the celebration. I think, yeah, you know, connecting the dots, we know why. He knew he was gone, and we even saw that with the letter when he decided to come back to Cleveland, with Lee Jenkins' article and all that. He didn't even mention Andrew Wiggins. Well, give LeBron credit. He doesn't fake it. He tells you how you feel, or he tells you how he feels.
Well, LeBron is the perfect example of an athlete who holds all the cards and he's willing to play every card in the deck. He's the one who holds all the power and he wields it and he uses it to his advantage. And in a lot of ways right now, he's got the perfect situation for him because it's just him and 6, 7, 8 guys that are all role players. And he can just basically tell every one of them what to do on offense and defense. And none of those guys are going to stand up to LeBron. They're all going to do what they're told. And again, it's very, very early in this new Cavaliers team, but so far the results have been outstanding for Cleveland.
So just going over this, you have Cleveland minus $1.25 to win the East. You have Toronto at plus 220 and Boston at plus 375. So there are different odds. I mean, you guys have very different odds than other books, right? You know that, right?
Oh, of course.
Go ahead.
We don't think much of Boston, Doug. Like we think, and I know how much you know the NBA, so I want to hear what you think. But to us, Boston is a team that would barely even make the playoffs if it wasn't for Brad Stevens, if they had an average coach. We've thought all year long that they were kind of fool's gold, and we don't see how they can win a playoff series against Cleveland or Toronto.
All right, so let me digest this. This is a team that is 22 games above 500. Yeah. You think they'd struggle to make the playoffs without?
If they didn't have Brad Stevens,
right.
If they had an average coach, I just don't think that, or we don't think their roster is really all that good. Kyrie Irving is an all-star player. Gordon Hayward's out for the year. That's, you know, or he's out. He's been out all year. That's just bad luck. And then the rest of their team is very young. I don't think Boston, or we don't think Boston is anywhere near on the level of Toronto is player for player. It's just Brad Stevens. He covers up for everything, and he makes them seem a lot better than they really are, in our opinion.
So I would definitely agree that he makes them better than they are because he's arguably the best coach in the NBA. I mean, look,
yeah.
I know Steve Kerr gets a lot of praise for changing the offense, and I'm first guy to praise him for doing that, but obviously Kerr, you're always going to look at him through a prism of, well, he has those studs, right? But keep in mind,
yeah,
the offense wasn't that like it is now when he took over for Mark Jackson. So give him some credit. Popovich, I just love. What Pop and Brad Stevens are doing, I think, are comparable. What Pop does, and I haven't broken it down with the Celtics, but I know Pop has dominated like the teams that they should beat, right? Like the Hornets, the Knicks, Bulls, like those kinds of teams where like when they're depleted without Kawhi Leonard, especially without LaMarcus Aldridge, like the last couple games, like their system, their effort, their execution, everything is magnified against a team that's a little bit sloppy, like the Grizzlies, the Lakers, and the other teams I've mentioned. It's just when they're outgunned, like they were Saturday night against Golden State, over the course of four quarters, like they just can't hang. Now, with all that being said, I still think Boston would be a playoff team because I think Kyrie Irving and Al Horford are legit, especially Kyrie is a top 10 player. But I know what you mean. Obviously, there is a little bit of fool's gold. They're not I mean, they're one game back at the top seed of the East. They're not the best team, as we saw really on Sunday. And that wasn't the first time LeBron undressed the Celtics this year. He's done it twice.
And LeBron was just incredible. He was in complete control that whole game on Sunday. And Cleveland took the lead in the second quarter, and they just never looked back. And that had to be a very humbling loss for Boston. And as that game was going on, we were lowering the odds on Cleveland like live, you know, real time. And Ed was texting us from wherever, you know, whatever island he's on, and complaining that we weren't moving it aggressively enough. So it was a...
Because the natives are storming the castle? Is that what he was worried about?
Yeah, he was not. He was like, no, that's not enough. And we finally, I think it was me actually, finally responded to him, like, then just tell me what you want to do. Because we felt we were moving it very aggressively, and he didn't think we were showing enough respect to them. But it's not, and again, it's not just because of how well they were playing. A lot of it is to do with the perception, and everyone is going to look to bet on Cleveland, and everybody has been betting on Cleveland. And that's why Ed wanted us to stay out in front of it, because he knows where the money's coming, and he wants to make sure he doesn't give away a better price than the people are willing to take.
Right. I mean, you guys are minus a dollar quarter. There's other places that are plus 200, 250. So it'll be interesting to see, because we've seen the Cavs steamroll the Eastern Conference before. 12-1 last year. They seem like they could do it again this year. However, I don't think they're going to get to the 2 or the 1 seed. So I think the 3 seed is their ceiling, I think. Yeah, you never know. But they're 5 games back of Boston right now, and with 26 games to go, I believe it is. So that'd be tough to make up. But I talk about it all the time. It's going to be tough to beat LeBron 4 out of 7.
Right, but they're probably going to have to win, you know, a series against Boston and a series against Toronto, and they'll be giving up home court in both of those series. Now, they'll probably be favored in both of those series, especially against Boston. But this isn't going to be as easy a road to the NBA Finals as LeBron is, you know, everyone says he always has this walk to the NBA Finals. He definitely doesn't have that this year, because Toronto is a very good team, and Toronto's going to have home court advantage. That's going to be a very tough series for LeBron and the Cavaliers.
Right, and some of this excitement could wear off. You know, you never know what's going to happen, but I think LeBron's, what has it been, like 15 straight playoff series? He's won at least one road game or something like that? It ended Golden State. I apologize.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You know what really needs to be talked about, though, Doug, and I haven't really heard too many people address this, is LeBron, I think, has played every single game of the year this year.
Yes, he has.
And LeBron is 33 years old, and I know you and I were joking on Sunday that LeBron is basically a cyborg, like it's impossible for him to get injured. But this guy's 33 years old. He's got more miles on his tires than any 33-year-old in the history of the sport of basketball. He hasn't sat out a single game all year. He has to wear down at some point, right? I mean, he can't just keep doing this forever.
You think, but he's also took about a week and change off during that lull where the Cavs lost a bunch of games, so he wasn't exactly maximum effort there either.
True. Yeah, but pretty much every other player in the NBA, or every other marquee player in the NBA, has rested a few games this season, and LeBron is older than any of these guys. And I know that they really spread out the playoff games. Like the first round series take like 2.5 weeks to be completed. But I do think he's going to run out of gas at some point, probably in the postseason. I mean, he has to, I think.
I mean, there's a long All-Star break now, right? He's going to have about a week off. Now he's participating in the All-Star festivities. But he doesn't exude that much energy when he plays, to be honest, for him.
No, he's in full control the whole way, and it's definitely good for him now to be with this roster where no one is, like, challenging his authority. They're all just kind of going wherever he tells them to go, and you can't argue with the results so far. Cleveland has looked like a completely different team, and the guys they got rid of, all those guys they traded on Thursday, none of them were really contributing in any positive way, so they didn't really have anything to lose. And now they've brought in some younger pieces that are a little bit more athletic. And so far, it looks very, very good.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So it'll be interesting to see how it all evolves, and I'm sure we'll be continuing to keep tabs on these odds, because it's been fascinating to see. I love Ed on the on his vacation, quote unquote, call him the bat phone, and to prevent the natives from storming the castle. So I like that.
I think we told him at some point, like, hey man, we moved it to even money. Go have a daiquiri. Yeah, because he was not happy with the work we were doing on Sunday.
Well, I love that.
I was getting very defensive, Doug, if I'm being honest.
Yes. I love how Ed has a firm opinion, right? He took a firm opinion on Toronto and all that good stuff, and then he's willing to change his mind, which is exactly, ironically, what the Cavs did, right? They made moves, and they put a lot of investment here through 15 games with Isaiah Thomas. They realized, you know what? This is not going to work. We got to pull the plug.
Has anybody ever cost himself more money in a contract year than Isaiah Thomas in your memory?
Well, is it Latrell Sprewell who had a family to feed?
That was a contract year, wasn't it? Yeah.
Well, that was the whole thing. He declined and then didn't get the team.
I thought one of the great quotes after Isaiah got traded was, I think his agent released a statement saying something like, well, Isaiah was having trouble because the ball was always running through LeBron in Cleveland. And it was like, dude, I'm pretty sure the ball should probably run through LeBron in Cleveland, Isaiah. Like, I think that guy needs to understand his place in the pecking order. That's probably why he's been traded about five times.
Right, right. One of the reasons. It's just LeBron's not for everyone, right?
No, definitely not. And Kyrie is a great player, and he couldn't deal with it. But Isaiah Thomas, he just, as soon as he came back, they started losing every game, and then in the post game, he would rip everybody else in the organization, basically.
So that's what was so confusing, is the running the mouth thing. But anyways, real quick before we let you go, Olympic betting out there. What kind of handle are we looking at? Things like that.
You know, the Olympic betting handle has been kind of minimal, Doug. We haven't seen nearly the kind of right we had last summer for the summer games. We did have some decent handle on the snowboarding. Took a lot of bets on Chloe Kim, who won the gold medal a couple days ago in the women's halfpipe. And we actually won money last night because Sean White won the men's. There was a lot of action on Scotty James, who took the bronze medal. But other than that, the action has been pretty minimal. I think it's definitely hurting us that the NHL players are not playing in the men's hockey, and the hockey action hasn't been great. And you got to also consider the time zones don't line up really well with Las Vegas time.
Right, right. And then just, I would imagine, just handicapping that stuff, like you said about the hockey, like the Summer Olympics. We know the NBA players and things like that. We're familiar. Yeah. But Summer Olympics, you don't have much other than baseball to bet on. Here, you got many other options.
Yeah, the Summer Olympics, what you just said, Doug, has the basketball, has whatever this year's version of the Dream Team is, and there's a lot of interest in those games for sure. We've got first and second half wagering and the full menu that we would have for basketball. There's just nothing like that in the winter games.
Gotcha. And then obviously other sports to bet, and it's limited. In the summer, that's hence you got to focus on what you can. All right, man. Well, good abbreviated spot this week. We'll be back in full force next week, assuming Ben doesn't buy the island. But always good chatting, and we'll see where the Cavs are a week from now, coming off the All-Star break.
Yeah, it'll be fun, man. Cleveland might be left for dead when we speak a week from now when Ben and Ed are back from their fancy vacations.
Right. That would be funny. Just like the Cavs, like, get blown out, LeBron mouths off, but.
Or LeBron plays poorly in the big Team LeBron, Team Steph game on Sunday.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're done playing, so that's that's one thing. All right, my man, always good chatting, and we'll connect soon, I'm sure.
All right, bud, you have a good week.
You too. All right, that's one Las Vegas voice. We have another one coming up with Jason Symbol of CG Technology. We're going to talk a little baseball season win totals and some more of that NBA domino effect of the trade deadline. That's next on the Behind the Bets podcast. Let's now head out to Las Vegas and bring in Jason Symbol, Vice President of Risk Management at CG Technology, which basically provides the booking and bookmaking for a bunch of hotels, including the M Resort, the Cosmo, things like that. Jason, good to talk to you, man.
Hey, Doug, man, I'm good. How are you doing?
Well, I'm great. Typically this is a little bit slower time of year, but the ink had not even dried on the box score of the Super Bowl before you guys were firing up baseball over-unders. Currently, I believe we're 42 days until opening day. I'm not 100% sure, but as we tape this on Valentine's Day, but you guys first to post baseball win totals, and I find it very interesting because there are so many key free agents still unsigned. So what was the process of going about it?
Yeah, you're right. We were still licking our wounds from the Super Bowl, but we decided it would be pretty good exposure. You know, there's a lot more exposure day in, day out on you know, sports betting from the mass media, and figured, you know, getting these out there really early would be very beneficial to the company. And we knew that we'd probably have some numbers that might be a little bit off, and we can kind of go into that. But the you know, the general process was, you know, let's try to get these up quickly, get some good exposure, and let, you know, the people at our tourist process at our tourist properties really whack away at them. You know, we took three different, you know, websites that kind of have an analytical approach to season wins that we looked at as a reference. We looked at last year's you know, expected wins numbers, looked at some key additions, key losses, and then just took our best guess at what these numbers would be.
Okay, so a lot of good things there. So first things first, you see good value in becoming the first because of mass media is tracking these things. So that's actually a variable in this.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, especially once the Super Bowl ends, there's really nothing going on in our world until you kind of hit March Madness, right? So this is a pretty down time, and people are looking for content, and, you know, sports betting's getting more and more exposure from the national media, and we felt this would be something that would be good for the company to do, and it turned out to be okay.
All right, so let's talk about the process here, given that there is some unknown with free agents. What is it? So you talked about the computers. It's not like the prop betting where you guys sit in a dark room and eat pizza and come up with all the prop. It's pretty formulaic here.
Yeah, it's pretty formulaic. I mean, we looked at we took the team's actual wins from last year. We took the team's expected wins from last year based on the numbers. We went to three different sites that we were able to use that have good references for numbers that we used as well. And then we kind of put a big spreadsheet, kind of a matrix together of key losses, key additions, and then who's still out there and where they may go. And what the rumors are going with, and then we just came up with the numbers.
Okay, so first things first, what were your limit bets?
So we were taking 500. You know, if anybody wanted to come in and bet, if somebody was coming in and betting like 7, 8, or 9, we had one person come in, he bet 9 of them. So we gave him 1,000 because he was betting so many. But we were trying to limit it to 500. In some cases, we made you go on our account wagering app to bet, but 500 is our standard limit.
Okay, so that's not too dangerous. What were some of the sharp wagers?
Yeah, exactly. When you come out with these, you know, look, we're trying to give, you know, the people that are staying on the strip, that they're going to our books at the Venetian and the Cosmopolitan, you know, a chance to bet, to bet their team. You know, we're not looking to, you know, going up against one-on-one against some of the sharpest folks in the world. So 500 is a good enough limit for the people who we want, and it kind of limits those guys from really beating us up on the numbers that we might have been off on.
Okay, so, and then when the sharps came in and took a whack at you, what was the some notable ones?
Oh, man, there's about four that really stand out. The one that I'd say was probably the biggest, using a baseball term, swing and a miss for us, was the Baltimore Orioles. We opened them at 77.5. They got bet all the way down to 73.5. That was not a great one. Another one
a lot of thought process there is Machado, trade block, things like that.
Yeah, Machado on the trade block, the pitching staff is going to really struggle.
They were terrible last year.
And you have to look at the improvement of the Yankees, and you know the Red Sox are going to be super good too. And they also did bet the Rays over a little bit, so it makes sense that, you know, those losses from the Orioles are going to go to those teams that I just mentioned.
Gotcha. Okay, sorry about that. I interrupted you. Let's go through the other three.
Okay, we've got also one of them that stands out as well that they're really betting the under on. They hammered this. In fact, if the season were to start today, our biggest liability would be on the Kansas City Royals under. 76.5 was our number, which was another bit of a swing and miss there. It's down to 72.5, and that kind of makes sense. You know, they lost a lot. Hosmer and Moustakas haven't even signed yet, and that team is really going to be struggling. Kane left as well, so a lot of pieces left there without adding much.
See, that's where the free agency really hurts, yeah. What's the next team?
And then kind of going the other way, the Cincinnati Reds are a team that was getting a lot of popularity in terms of the season wins. In terms of people betting the over, that's the one we're at the most exposure to, 71.5 up to 73.5. You know, I can see them doing well. They've got, you know, obviously Votto in the lineup. Billy Hamilton in center is a nice player, and the pitching staff should be better. So I can see that one as well. What's interesting about that, though, is they also bet the Reds over, they bet the Cubs over, and they bet the Brewers over. So somebody's got to lose these games. So they're probably saying that they think it's going to be a rough year for the Pirates.
I was going to say, that leaves one team there, the Pirates. who obviously a very disappointing situation for those that fan base, given McCutchen traded, and just I have some buddies who are Pirates fans, just very very flabbergasted at everything.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's going to be a struggle. I mean, we the Pirates opened at 76.5. It went down to 73.5. I mean, I can see this team not even hitting 70 if you actually look at, you know, what they're looking to do. And it's going to be a lot of call-ups, getting a lot of look at young players. You know, I mean, their number two starter is Ivan Nova, who couldn't even crack the Yankees rotation. It's going to be a tough season for them.
Yeah, no doubt. And then Garrett Cole obviously traded to the Astros as well. So, could be some dark days in Pittsburgh, especially if the other three teams, particularly the Reds, surprise and actually perform well. That could be bad for Pittsburgh. So that line has moved down from 76.5 to 73.5. And what's the fourth team the Sharps jumped on?
They actually bet on Tampa Bay over. Not a huge move because we did take – it was actually a little bit of a two-way action, but some of our more respected players took Tampa Bay over. They were at 76.5. It went up to 77.5. You know, I can see that. They did underperform a little bit last year. The you know, some of the guys in the rotation struggled, and you expect them to have kind of bounce back years. So that was the one that really stood out in terms of some of our more sophisticated players betting the team over.
Okay, so you have those four. Let's talk about some of the higher profile teams. Obviously, the Yankees made the big news with Giancarlo Stanton. And I see there are a couple wins over. You have 95.5 for the Yanks.
Yeah, 95.5 for the Yanks.
It's not the highest. We'll get to the highest. But that one stood out to me, given they're in the same division as the Red Sox.
Yeah, exactly. Given they're in the same division as the Red Sox, and as I said before, they bet the Rays over. So, you know, that means it could be a long year for the Orioles and the Blue Jays. But, I mean, look, the Yankees are the popular team. You're never just because they're the Yankees, you know, and so many people are going to bet them, and they're so popular, you know, both in the futures and with these season wins, it's going to be tough to get a good number on them. It could have some value on the under if they keep betting it over. But, I mean, just that lineup alone in the dog days of summer is going to win this team a lot of games. So, certainly a 90-win team, and we'll see if they can get to the 96 number.
But the two with the highest total right now are another American League team, the defending World Series champs, the Astros, and the team they beat in the World Series, the Dodgers. No surprise they're the highest, given what happened last year. But what sort of action have you got on those two teams?
Well, starting with the Astros, it was a bit of a small move. The number is 96.5, and it's still at 96.5, but now you have to lay a little juice if you want to bet the over. So not a ton of action on them. You know, we kind of, you know, I said there was a few of these that we were pretty off on, but some of them we were spot on, and the Astros were one of those, just having to move the juice a little bit on them. Dodgers at 95.5, and we actually had to bet them over at 96.5, and you know, this is a team that has obviously a ton of wins from the prior year. They won 104 games last year, if I remember correctly, and their season win total last year, I think, was 96, so they blew past that
right. Eight
games. So certainly a team that's looking to win a lot of games this year again.
Well, they're such a fascinating team because they got ridiculously hot at one point in the summer, and then they got ridiculously cold. So depending how you look at it, it might be some market correction or just coming back down to earth or going back up. Who knows how to read that situation? But a lot of things went right for the Dodgers for a key stretch, but they had their stud rookie once he came up, and he's going to be here the whole year, Bellinger.
Yeah, of course. And on top of that, you have to kind of look at the hangover effect of losing the World Series in seven games like they did, and does that kind of get them off to a slow, sluggish start that by no means will probably prevent them from missing the playoffs, but it certainly could maybe prevent them from hitting this number.
Especially with the Giants making some moves, and then you have the Giants at 82.5.
Yeah, Giants actually certainly improved. They opened at 81.5, had to bet them over to 82.5, but you do have to lay a little bit if you want to bet over 82.5. And look, with, you know, you've got McCutchen there, and now you can actually have some protection for some of these guys in the order like Posey and Pence, who have just been, you know, getting nothing but sloppy pitches for the last few years. So certainly think that they could do some damage. And look, and Bumgarner in a big spot, you know what he's going to do. So that team could be certainly pretty good, pushing for that wild card spot.
Right, and also adding Evan Longoria in that lineup as well. So let me ask you this. As other books start to postseason win totals, I believe one other has already, and let's say they're like two wins difference. Will you move yours or just wait for the action to move it?
We'll wait for a bet, and you know, generally, if there's more than two games separating us from another book out there, people will find it and they'll try to hit middles. So we'll end up having to move it. And usually by, you know, once that happens for a little bit of time, these numbers all kind of get to the same point. So, you know, we will wait to take a bet before we move it unless some information breaks with one of these free agents.
Yeah, we touched on the high end of things. Looking at the low end of things, no surprise, I think the Miami Marlins are the lowest at 64.5, unless my eyes are deceiving me.
Yeah, they're the lowest at 64.5, and this was another one that we hit spot on. We haven't had to move this number at all, which means that, you know, this team is going to lose about 100 games. If they get to the 100 mark, you win the bet. So it's very hard to bet that a team's going to lose 100 times, but, I mean, look, this team is nothing. They got rid of every player, so it's going to be a really, really tough year for them, obviously, as they're rebuilding that entire franchise.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting to see how they respond, because obviously every guy in that lineup is going to try hard, and obviously he's a professional and wants to carve out a career in Major League Baseball, but they're just going to be outmanned and outgunned, and at some point you might get some wins here and there just because of law of averages, but then maybe you don't.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, and then you're going to get into the, you know, we got into a little bit about some of these divisions, right? I mean, you know, the Mets are going to certainly be, or they look to certainly be a little bit better than last year. The Braves are trending in the right direction, and you know that the Nationals are poised to win 90 games. So this is going to be a long season for the Marlins, as we know. The question is, do they lose 100 or do they only lose 98?
Right. All right, good stuff. Well, congrats on getting these numbers out first. A lot of excitement opening day. Not too far away. I know it's nice out there in Las Vegas, but we've been dealing with the wintery conditions out here. But mid-February, we certainly see spring around the corner, at least a couple months away, or excuse me, 1 month and a half away. Go back to some other stuff, or just put a bow on some things. Let's talk NBA. And I wanted to, obviously, the Cavs have been sort of the storyline in the Eastern Conference right now. What adjustments have you made in terms of the futures market? Because I know every book was different. I know the Westgate had a really, really low price on Toronto, whereas most other books had more to offer there. But where do you have the Cavs right now in terms of winning it all, Eastern Conference, things like that?
So right now, to win the championship, so the whole thing, the Cavs are at 5-1. They were at 8-1 prior to all the trades they made at the deadline, and also prior to beating the Celtics and the Thunder in the last two games. So they went all the way down to 5-1. Only the Rockets at 3, and then obviously the Warriors at -200 are ahead of them. And you just kind of have to cut those numbers in half for the Eastern Conference. So +250, they are the favorite to win the Eastern Conference at our book.
Okay, so a couple things. You moved them from 8-1 to 5-1 after the recent wins. Was that better induced or odds maker induced?
Combination of both. Okay. So when they made all of the trades, we actually didn't really take any bets on them, believe it or not. We just, you know, we were at 8-1 at that point. They beat up the Celtics pretty good on that national TV game. And then it was better induced. So we took them down, we were going to take them down after the bets, but we decided to take them all the way to 5. Because of how they looked and a combination of the bets. So if they, you know, squeaked out a win against the Celtics, maybe we would have only moved them to 6. But because they look so good, that's why we moved them to 5.
Okay. All right. Sounds good there. And what are your Eastern Conference odds, the top few teams?
So the Cavs are the favorite, like I said. You can get the Celtics. Celtics are 10-1 to win the championship, 5-1. We actually do quite well to the Celtics. Despite the fact that they're a bit of a public team. So the odds on them at our place are a little bit better because our liability is actually quite good to them. And then, you know, a lot of people have a bad price on the Raptors. We actually have a decent price on them as well at 15-1 to win the whole thing. And you can get them at 6-1 to win the Eastern Conference.
All right. So you have +600 on Toronto, 500 on Boston. And what do you have for
250?
250. You do have it cut in half of the 5-1. Okay. So that's certainly a discrepancy, because other places have Toronto right up there with the favorite of Cleveland. So that's interesting there. What would you make the Cavs and Warriors series price right now if Golden State was hosting?
Golden State hosting, I mean, at home, you're looking at, I'm just going to try to do math in my head as I talk, so bear with me.
Right, so it's basically combined probability of money lines, right? Like that's what.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what the spread would probably be at home. So, you know, and look, it's tough to say, you know, if Cleveland is going to continue this torrid success, their power ranking is going to shoot up, and the number would decrease when they play against Golden State. But let's just say at right now, if Golden State is about an 8-point favorite at home, and they're like a 1-point favorite in Cleveland, you know, you figure, you know, you're looking at what the money line would be at those numbers and trying to, like, deducing it out.
Right.
So, I mean, they're going to be.
So last year they were like 320, right? 340?
I mean, I was going to say they're going to be around a $4 favorite, yeah. I would think.
Okay. That makes sense, unless Cleveland. I mean, if Cleveland last year went 12-1 in the Eastern Conference playoffs, that's why that price came down. Cleveland's probably not going to do that this year unless they make a huge run and get home court advantage in the semis and finals, but I think that they're going to be the three seeds, the ceiling, right? With like 25 games to go, they're like five games back. So
yeah, and the tricky part there is they're going to have to, you know, potentially beat both Toronto and Boston instead of one of them, because if they end up in the three seed, you know, the two seed would be Boston or Toronto, whoever, and then the one seed would be the other one of those teams, which will give them, plus those teams are better than they were last year.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, look, can the Warriors get an injury and can the Cavs, you know, go win each series in five or six games and that number comes down a little bit? Sure. But as of now, I mean, look, the Warriors are a huge favorite for a reason.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right. So a lot of headlines made in the last, I don't know, few months about legalization, whether it be another state or even on a federal level. Where do you see things from your meetings and everything like that?
I just see a lot of excitement. You know, everybody's kind of in the phase of what do we do next? Everybody's got different strategies, and people are trying to plan for their future, you know, trying to figure out what's the best way to position their companies. And for the casinos, you know, what's the best way to position their casino? You know, and there's obviously a lot of talk with what the NBA is trying to do, getting some legislation passed. And to me, right, there's going to be some arguing and some lobbying both ways. But at the end of the day, you know, there's just tremendous appetite for content that a lot of people have. And I think sports betting brings that. And I think because of that, everybody's going to really try to get into the business. So it's going to open up a lot of opportunities for a lot of people.
We just saw a record handle in the Super Bowl for the fourth time in the last 5 years. So obviously a pretty steep line graph, so to speak. And I imagine your handle's growing across the board, not just in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it is. And in fact, the state of Nevada handle has gone up, not just the Super Bowl, but, you know, year over year, statewide. I think every year since I can remember tracking it, which is at least a decade, and this year was no different. And you know, all of the operators here in town are enjoying the fruits of that expansion. And that's just, you know, and it's, you know, becoming increasingly popular, kind of going back to what I said before, getting these season wins out there is something that nobody would have ever cared about 4 years ago. But now it's a big thing. So I think just the general knowledge of sports betting is increasing so much, and the legalization is on the verge of happening at the perfect time.
Yeah, no, I've always said betting creates a new conversation about sports from like a sports center perspective, right? It's just another way to get into a topic. It doesn't have to be like, oh, would you bet over or under? It's just like, oh, that's interesting. The Dodgers still are predicted to have more wins than the Yankees. What do you guys think? Like, you know, what do you mean? You know, it's just another way, another entry point, another data point, another conversation starter. And I think we're all getting sort of more comfortable with the vernacular of betting throughout the country. It doesn't have to just be like, oh, do you want to buy the hook on the half point? You know, like it's not just isolated to degenerate behavior, so to speak, that stigma.
Totally agree, 100%. I think just the general fan engagement we see a great deal here. You know, for example, on our in-game betting, which we have, you know, we see more volume on a weeknight Lakers game that happens to be on ESPN than we do on some NFL games. And the reason is because, you know, the Las Vegas locals, obviously our betting app is restricted to only being used in Nevada, but, you know, locals who live in Las Vegas are, you know, predominantly Lakers fans, and they want to root for the Lakers. They're watching the game anyway, and they're at home betting it. So the engagement is certainly there. And like you said before, once, you know, people learn the vernacular, people are getting into, you know, what they can talk about, you can have an analyst potentially bring up the fact that, okay, the Lakers are making a run. They were plus 400. Now they're plus 180 to come back and win this game.
To- totally interesting stuff. Interesting to see what happens in the future with these court cases and even like some of the media coverage of it all. But Jason, always good catching up, man. Really appreciate your taking the time. Thank you for sharing this and being the first ones to post the win totals.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Look forward to doing it again.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.
All right, that does it for this edition of the Behind the Bets podcast. Thanks to Jason Symbol and John Murray, as always. Ben will be back next week, assuming he wants to come back from vacation. And then we will have much more going forward. But best of luck to everyone out there, and thanks for listening in to the Behind the Bets podcast.
Thanks for listening to Behind the Bets. You can listen and subscribe on the ESPN app or download and listen on Apple Podcasts.